Good morning. It's Friday, June 14th. I'm Yasmin Khan, in for Shimita Basu. This is Apple News Today. On today's show, Elon Musk's staggering pay package, a controversy at the Paris Olympics involving air conditioning, and Hollywood's many problems. We'll start with Elon Musk. Tesla shareholders voted yesterday to award the CEO a stunning pay package worth around $45 billion. For context, that's about the amount of revenue huge companies like United Airlines, Nike, and Coca-Cola generate in a year. The compensation package faces serious legal challenges. If it happens, it would be the highest ever compensation package for a CEO in U.S. history, and far greater than the next biggest package in history, which, as it turns out, was also awarded to Elon Musk.
It's absurd.
That's Chris Ailman talking with CNBC before the vote. He's the head of a massive California pension fund that holds millions of Tesla shares.
It's a car company. We need to have a serious salary. We'll pay him 140 times the average worker pay. How about that deal? I think that's more than fair. This pay package is ridiculous. And I know he's mad. He'll say I'm absurd to say that. I'm sorry, Elon. You know, he wants to go to Mars. Let's let him fly away.
But a majority of shareholders supported the move. Tesla board chair Robin Denholm previously argued for the pay package on CNBC.
The ratification of the pay package is really about fairness. Fairness to our CEO. If you look at what's happened at the company over the last 6 years, tremendous value creation. And he's led that.
The package is made up of Tesla shares. So as the stock went up, it benefited Musk. And the stock rose dramatically after the package was approved, though it's down so far this year. Demand for Tesla cars is down, and Musk faces a number of lawsuits over all sorts of issues. In one, shareholders accuse Musk of diverting resources away from Tesla into his new AI company. In another suit, a shareholder accuses Musk of insider trading. Musk did not comment to reporters on the allegations. Ahead of the vote, Vanity Fair's Bethany McLean talked to CNBC about why so many investors stand by Musk, even though it makes her feel uneasy.
I'm appalled by this, and I'm appalled by it in light of the declines in Tesla's business, your satellite images of the unsold cars, the employee lawsuits, the whistleblower lawsuits. And yet, as I thought about this, I thought every Tesla shareholder should be rooting for Musk to stay. And the reason why I think that is because if they get a new management team in there that runs it like a car company, the stock price is going to collapse. So I think Musk has Tesla shareholders between the proverbial rock and the hard place.
And Musk opened the gathering of investors by saying thanks for their support.
Welcome. Welcome to the Tesla shareholder meeting. And I just want to start off by saying, hot damn, I love you guys.
The shareholder vote doesn't mean Musk's pay package is a done deal. A judge previously struck it down, saying Musk improperly controlled the board's process of negotiating the package. And getting the courts okay on this deal is likely to be harder than convincing his superfan investors. Now, let's take a look at some other stories in the news. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas took three previously unreported trips paid for by a conservative billionaire. That's according to new documents from the Senate Judiciary Committee. It's been investigating Thomas's relationship with Harlan Crow and other wealthy people and found details of the private jet trips. An attorney for Thomas says the trips were considered personal hospitality and Thomas did not have to disclose them. On Capitol Hill, Senate Republicans blocked a bill that would provide federal protection for in vitro fertilization. It had little chance of becoming law, but Democrats were eager to get GOP senators on record voting against IVF legislation. Only two Republicans voted for it. Others said they prefer a bill that would cut Medicaid funding if a state bans IVF. And in sports, tonight is Game 4 of the NBA Finals. The Boston Celtics lead the series over the Dallas Mavericks 3-0. So the Celtics could become champions with a win today. You can get more coverage of that game, golf's U.S. Open, and other sports on the Apple News app. Staying with sports, final preparations are underway for the Olympics in Paris next month. The Washington Post has been following the progress of a major climate initiative. Organizers want this to be the greenest Olympics in history. Paris has hosted before, so there's existing infrastructure. And climate correspondent Chico Harlan told us they've really tried to recycle what they have.
They only built a little bit, but they did have to build a place for the athletes.
Their big goal there? Dorms that do not rely on traditional air conditioning. Instead, there's a geothermal system that lowers temperatures by pushing cold water through pipes in the floors.
But it essentially has been undercut.
At least 8 of the largest countries competing, including the U.S., told the Post they're planning to bring in portable AC units. That'll set back the green goals. Countries cited concerns that Paris's geothermal system won't be sufficient to keep athletes comfortable. Temperatures could climb close to 100 degrees, and last summer was the world's hottest on record.
If you have a heat wave, you could have athletes from different countries dealing with different systems and having different temperatures in their rooms, which is not an ideal starting point for equal competition, though that is obviously just one small aspect of how an athlete arrives for an event.
Harlan points out there's a limit on how cold a room can get through geothermal cooling. And separately, there's the question of equity. If it gets sweltering, athletes from low-income countries won't have access to the expensive AC units.
Obviously, bringing portable air conditionings on a plane, as Greece is doing, costs money. Renting them for any number of period for a large delegation of athletes costs money. And for some nations, just getting their athletes there is what they have the budget for.
Even with all these AC units on the way, the organizers in Paris hope athlete dorms will have a long-term environmental payoff. After the closing ceremony, the athletes' village will turn into housing for thousands of people. Finally, the summer movie season is off to a slow start. Over the typically busy Memorial Day weekend, we saw the lowest box office numbers in more than 2 decades, excluding the pandemic, when theaters were closed. ABC took a closer look.
Just over $30 million, that's how much or how little Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, and the Garfield movie, the #1 and #2 movies each grossed.
Some of those low numbers have to do with the 2 historic Hollywood strikes last year that brought film and TV production to a halt for months. But there's a much larger crisis facing the industry today. Hollywood is losing money and jobs. Fewer TV shows are being made, and media companies are consolidating.
Usually things reach a crisis point, and then we look back and say, wait a minute, how do we end up here? And I think that the industry is in the middle of one of those points where things are bad without the consumer necessarily realizing just how bad it is.
That's Franklin Leonard, a former film executive and the founder of The Blacklist. He's our guest this week on Apple News in Conversation. And he told Sam Sanders, who's filling in for Shamita during her final stretch of parental leave, about all the things going wrong in Hollywood today and how to fix them. Among the many problems he sees, chief among them is bad business decisions around diversity and inclusion. Research from McKinsey shows Hollywood misses out on at least $10 billion a year in revenue because of anti-Black bias.
They followed it up with a study on anti-Latin bias, found that they were losing somewhere on order of $16 to $18 billion a year. And they just put out a study this year about Asian and Pacific Islander bias, and that was another $4 billion. So we're talking about $30 billion a year in lost revenue. Money on the table, money left on the table, just because of sort of anti-Black, Latin, and AAPI bias.
D. To hear more of Franklin Leonard's ideas on how to resuscitate Hollywood and what today's troubles mean for the quality of shows and movies we love, stick around. If you're listening in the News app, that episode of Apple News in Conversation is coming up next, or you can find it in the Podcasts app. Have a great weekend, and I'll be back with the news on Monday.